Hour number three of Sports Talk begins. I'm John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara, Sports Talk with John and Vince. John McClain will join us a little bit later this hour. We also have Jimmy Hyams and his conversation with Josh Heupel at the SEC spring meetings coming up. But, Vince, why don't we go ahead and jump right into the walkthrough as it's game day for Tennessee softball.
It is less than 4 hours away from the start of the Women's College World Series. Number four national seed Tennessee, number five national seed Alabama, their fifth meeting this year. I incorrectly said Tennessee had won all four games. They won two of three in their series. They won in the SEC tournament. So Tennessee's won three of the four meetings to this point. And they will match up at noon in the first game today. If Tennessee wins, they will advance to Saturday's winner's bracket game. That will be at 3 p.m. If Tennessee loses today, they go to the loser's bracket game, and it gets really tough. They will play Friday at 7 p.m. So win Saturday, 3 p.m., lose Friday, 7 p.m., Vol Network pregame with Brian Rice 15 minutes prior to on AM 990 today or during the week, and then on the weekend it'll be on 99.1. Lots more from the SEC spring meetings that we visited with Jimmy Hyams last hour. You can get all those interviews at 99.1thesportsanimal.com and the SEC spring meetings page. You can also subscribe to that wherever you get your podcasts and get all those interviews, 28 of them, I think maybe 27 are posted, but he's done 28, including a bunch of one-on-ones that were really good that no one else is doing around the country. So really good stuff from Jimmy. And as John mentioned, we will play that interview with Josh Heupel coming up. Tennessee football, two kickoff times announced. They will play Virginia in the season opener. It's a noon kickoff that'll be on ABC. And then Tennessee, Florida is a 7 p.m. start time. They have not announced a start time for Austin Peay in the game in between that on September 9th. Josiah Jordan James returning to Tennessee basketball as he withdrew from the NBA draft. Olivier Kamwa has withdrawn his name from the NBA draft, and he is considering his transfer portal options with some more some visits and a number of teams that are interested in his services. Julian Phillips staying in the NBA draft, according to ESPN. And then Toby Owaka, Freddie DeLeon, they're earning their USA, they earned a USA Basketball Under 19 training camp invite. 12-member team will be announced coming up in soon before the late June, early July competition in Hungary. And then former Vol and Washington State guard Justin Powell is keeping his name in the NBA draft, NBA Finals tonight as well. Game one, Miami Heat, Denver Nuggets, with the Nuggets being -410 to win that series.
Boy, so much going on. And one of the things, meant to throw this out when we were playing the comments from Chase Dolander, and that is right now we've seen the first full first round mock from Kylie McDaniel at ESPN. He's got Chase Dolander going number 7 in the draft to Cincinnati. Bit of an upset. He's got a high school outfielder named Max Clark going number 1 to the Pirates. Then he has Dylan Cruz, player of the year candidate and player of the year in the SEC, going with the second pick to the Washington Nationals, and pitcher of the year in the Southeastern Conference, Paul Skeens, going 5th to Minnesota. But what do you think, Vince, of Chase Dolander being penciled in as a number 7 pick potentially to Cincinnati's organization?
Well, it's not surprising that he's still in the top 10. And if he closes out strong in the postseason against high-level competition and with a lot of scouts watching, I think you could very well see that sort of trend back up where he was going into the year, where he was sort of top 3 in the draft. Little surprised that Max Clark, high school players, hopped to number 1, as the college players have really dominated a lot of the mocks in the offseason. So we'll see if it stays that way. But Kylie McDaniel was very good. So he's, we'll see if that sticks.
Could be purse strings in terms of the consideration for the Pirates more than anything, and going for a high school prospect as opposed to arguably the top prospect coming out of college.
Yep, I think that's a great point. Signability, and then maybe you save the money on the first round pick. Maybe you can overpay a little bit later in the draft for someone else that you really want.
That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. And why don't we go ahead and step to the plate at 8? It's your chance to win. Vince, what's up for grabs this morning?
Yeah, how about a $30 gift certificate to Shoney's?
Oh, that's fantastic. All you have to do is be the first caller with the correct answer to this question. So yesterday, we threw out there which was the first SEC team to make it to the Women's College World Series. And the answer was South Carolina back in 1997. So taking Vanderbilt off the table because they don't have softball. There are three SEC softball programs that have never made it to the College World Series in Oklahoma City. What three SEC schools have yet to make their first trip to the Women's College World Series? 865-656-9900. That's 865-656-9900. A fantastic prize from Shoney's is up for grabs as we look for a winner today as we step to the plate at 8. Sam, who's up first? Let's go to Danny. Hi, Danny. How are you?
Hey, John. How are you this morning?
Doing fine, thanks.
How you doing, Dan, this morning?
Good. Danny, hope you're doing well this morning.
I am. Three schools, huh?
Correct.
I'm going to say, let's see, LSU, Georgia, and Kentucky.
Well, unfortunately, you went 0 for 3. But, Danny, always great to hear from you, and hope you have a great day.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Sure do appreciate it. Let's go to Brent. Hi, Brent. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to go with Missouri, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss.
Wow, I tell you what, Missouri has made it. They haven't made it as a representative of the SEC, but they have made it. But your last two are correct. So you got 2 out of 3. You finished strong. That was an outstanding run at it, Brent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sure to appreciate it. Have a great day. Again, looking for three SEC programs that have yet to make their first trip to the Women's College World Series. Who's up next, Sam? It's Jake who joins us next. Hi, Jake. How are you?
I'm good. Let me go. Kentucky, Missouri, Ole Miss.
Your last one was correct. Both Kentucky and Missouri have made it to the Women's College World Series. But we sure do appreciate it. Jake, you have a fantastic Thursday. 865-656-9900 as we look for our winner this morning. 865-656-9900. Let's try Daryl. Hi, Daryl. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Well, I didn't hear some of the guys' answers, but I'm going to go with Ole Miss. Do they have to have a softball team?
No, well, we mentioned that Vanderbilt does not have one, so they're off the table.
Yeah.
But okay, these are three softball programs that have not made their first trip yet to the Women's College World Series. But you're off to a great start, by the way.
All right. Ole Miss, South Carolina, and I can't think of the next one. Let's do Georgia.
Both South Carolina and Georgia have made it, but Daryl, we sure do appreciate you calling in. Have a fantastic day.
Thanks.
So, again, the question is, there are three SEC softball programs that have yet to make their first trip to the Women's College World Series. We've had two of them named, looking for the third. It's Joe who joins us next. Hi, Joe.
Hello, I've missed a few of them too. Let's go with Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and LSU.
Wow, you nailed the first two. LSU has been, but you are hovering in the proper waters if you were looking at what is no longer the case in softball, a divisional split. But your first two spot on, Joe, so hope you have a great Thursday.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Adrian is up next. Good morning, Adrian.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Yes, sir. I'm going to go to Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M.
Not Texas A&M. The Aggies have been, actually both prior to their time in the SEC and since they've joined the Southeastern Conference. But, Adrian, sure do appreciate it. Hope you have a fantastic Thursday. It's Perry who's up next. Good morning, Perry. How are you?
Morning, John. Vince, Let's go Mississippi, Mississippi State, and Auburn.
Not Auburn. The Tigers have made it. It's been a bit since they have, but they have made it. But we sure do appreciate you calling in. Looking for one more school. We've had two of the three named. We're looking for the last one. But, Perry, have a great day. Let's go to Aaron. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Aaron.
Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Arkansas.
Arkansas is correct, along with the Mississippi schools. And the Razorbacks were in great position. They won the SEC tournament last year, and they were hosting a Super Regional. But Texas rained on their parade and advanced out of Fayetteville. So it is Arkansas, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State that are still trying to punch their ticket for the first time to Oklahoma City. So, Aaron, congratulations. You are our winner. Hang on so we can get your prize information. And, Vince, tell him what he's won.
Got a $30 gift certificate to Shoney's at Shoney's in Knoxville. They strive to provide families with an exceptional dining experience that blends Southern hospitality with quality, flavorful food. They use the best of local ingredients, preparing them with care in a safe, healthy manner. With 18 locations across East Tennessee, including two in Knoxville, 2612 Chapman Highway, and 4020 Rutledge Pike. You can find out more at shoneysknox.com. Shoney's, let's eat. Great job, Aaron.
Thanks.
Yes, sir. Outstanding work. Again, hang on the lines. We can get your prize information. We'll get a break when we return. Comments from Josh Heupel as he spoke with Jimmy Hyams yesterday. And Sam Foreman has your sports report next. It's all on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Ozzie awaits a 2-2. Ozzie down the right field line. Laureano back, and it's gone. And the Braves take a 2-0 lead. Ozzie with his 11th of the season. And boy, did the Braves need it.
The Atlanta Braves defeated the Oakland A's 4-2 thanks to a 3-run fifth inning, while it was the Tampa Bay Rays defeating the Chicago Cubs 4-3. The Nationals defeated the Dodgers 10-6, and the Marlins got the better of the Padres 2-1. The Mets topped the Phillies 4-1, and the Mariners got a 1-0 win over the Yankees. Locally in minor league baseball, it was the Chattanooga Lookouts defeating the Tennessee Smokies 9-5 last night. Again, Lady Vols softball will kick off their stint at the Women's College World Series in Oklahoma City today as they take on SEC rival Alabama for a fifth matchup between the two schools this year. First pitch is slated for noon. Lady Vol Radio Network coverage will come your way with Brian Rice at 11:45 on AM 990. With your morning sports update for the Sports Animal, I'm Sam Foreman. Have a great day.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Sports Talk continues. It's now 8:26 on your Thursday morning. And Vince, here's something that's not bizarre, and that is Jimmy Hyams catching up with everybody who's anybody down at the SEC spring meetings.
Absolutely. He does it better than everyone, and he caught up with Tennessee's head football coach, talked about both the Miltons, Mackenzie Milton that's coming to the program, Joel Milton starting quarterback, scheduling, and much more. Here's Jimmy Hyams' conversation with Vols football head coach Josh Heupel.
Josh, you've added Mackenzie Milton to your staff. I know you were really close to him. Great story about him in Central Florida. What does it mean to you to be able to bring him to Tennessee?
Yeah, when you have guys that understand, you know, your system in some ways, but also the culture piece of what you're trying to build, that fit that mold and. you know, in some ways have poured into to where we're at today as a program, albeit at a previous stop. You want to add those types of pieces. He's hit the ground running. He's going to be a great resource for our players in general and great addition to our staff. He's got so many connections with the people that are here and has a great understanding of what we're doing.
He was out for a long time with an injury, and I think he was at Florida State. He led some rally. I remember asking you about it. That meant a lot to you to see him perform under that situation, didn't it?
Yeah, you know, he was our guy. My first down there at UCF, you know, has a horrific injury late in the year, and you know, spent the next 2 years rehabbing, and was a huge part of development of our quarterback Dylan Gabriel at the time. Was you know, really acting like a coach those 2 years, and always had great appreciation for his understanding of the game. Dynamic playmaker when he's on the field too, but you know, he just continued to grow and mature as a player. I don't know that anybody outside of him, his family, and some of the guys that were around him at that time have any type of appreciation for the injury that he had. The toughness mentally, physically, emotionally to battle through that over the next 2 years, then gets himself in a position to go play again, gets the opportunity at Florida State in a game where they're down, and he does some magical things and brings them almost all the way back. And you know, it was pretty cool. I'd gone to bed, wake up, and my phone is just flooded with text messages, and actually went back and rewatched the end of the game just to see him play and compete. And pretty cool moment for me to see somebody that, you know, went through the force and came out the other side.
All right, I know you can't talk about recruits, but your 2024 class has 12 public commits. You're in on a whole lot of 4 and 5 stars. Do you think that what has the greater impact, winning 11 games or having 5 players among the top 77 taken in the draft?
I think everything that we have going on. I think the 11 wins, the exciting brand of football, the big games that we're able to compete and play well in and win, you know, the excitement of our fan base, the draft this year, last year too, but the 5 in the first, you know, 3 rounds this year. All of that parlays itself into us recruiting at an elite level, and you know, the best thing about it is the people that are in the building. And in recruiting, you get a chance to try to, you know, help people learn who you are and what you're about. But once we get them on campus, they get a chance to see Knoxville, they get a chance to see the campus, and get a chance to be around our players. They can see the energy is true, real, and we're just, you know, just beginning our ascent here in college football.
So Joe Milton was terrific in the Orange Bowl. He's the MVP. And I wonder your thoughts on this season. So a couple of years ago, you might argue that maybe he wasn't as consistent as you want. But last year in the backup role, and then against Clemson, and then in the spring, did you see evidence that he would be a more consistent player?
Well, first of all, you know, Joe, when he got his first chance, it was everybody's first time playing and what we're doing. And we grew as an offense. You know, Hendon was a big part of that. Right. The people around him were too. Joe continued to improve that year too. And everybody inside of our program knew whenever he got his opportunity, he was going to play at a really high level and be really successful. Hendon was a great leader. Joe was a great leader for us as well. You felt his energy and presence, and he's continued to grow that role. But everybody had great confidence in him. I love the way that he finished the year. He's been really purposeful in the way that he's worked and competed. You know, he wants to and has taken great ownership inside of our locker room. I want him to have a great summer and put himself in a position to have a great camp, and he'll be ready to play at a really high level in the fall.
A couple other questions. College football playoff expanding. There is a chance that, depending on how you do, you might host a college football playoff game at Neyland Stadium. What do you think that would be like?
Well, I think the expansion, when they went to four, it was inevitable that it was going to continue to expand. You know, there's a lot of great things with college football and the bowl games. Expanding the playoff is going to continue to give more people an opportunity to play in it at the end of the year. I think, you know, the first round of that, earning the opportunity to play it at a home site, probably the right thing to do. Have an opportunity to do that inside of Neyland. I can only imagine what that atmosphere would be like.
Yeah, it'd be electric, I'm sure. I'm obligated to ask you this. Do you care if the SEC schedule is 8 games or 9?
Yeah, that's a great question.
I know you haven't been asked.
Man. Yeah, it's the first time I've gotten that over the last 12 months. I have no say in what it's going to ultimately be. You know, I think, you know, administrators, presidents, everybody's trying to balance a lot of different things. At the end of the day, you play in this conference because you want to play and compete against the best every Saturday, and you enjoy those environments and those opportunities, and I do, and our program does too.
Have you heard compelling arguments both ways?
There's arguments for it on both sides of it, and I think the tough thing, you know, for presidents, chancellors, and athletic directors is you're trying to balance so many different things, and you know, it's in the world of college football, one dominant falls and it affects so many other things, and we've certainly seen that with so much that's gone on in college football over the last decade. You know, this is something that our conference has to navigate.
So comments from Tennessee coach Josh Heupel.
Yeah, I think what he said there at the end on the schedule, John, tells me if he wants to play the best competition that 9 games would be the way to go. Sounds like that they may not go that direction. And Tennessee may not look at that the same way from an athletic department or a university standpoint, but I think that is the way to go, even though he's never taken a strong stance on it. And I think his comments on Joe Milton were really interesting too. Hey, when he took over, we were all starting new. There was a lot new, and he got better that year, just that Hendon Hooker was already the guy, and he's put in so much work outside of the facility to get better and impact the team. I think sometimes those are forgotten. Guys change, they improve, and he has improved. And I think there's an ultimate confidence in Joe Milton having a great year.
That's Vince Ferrar. I'm John Wilkerson. John McClain joins us next. Stay with us on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Sports Talk continues. Approaching 8:40 this morning, Eastern time. It's earlier than that as we jump to Houston, as our friend John McClain joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much.
Well, always appreciate your time. And what do you think in terms of Pat McAfee making John McClain type money now with ESPN?
Boy, I'm happy for him. I actually think his contract's for a little less than mine, but I'm not going to quibble about it. And especially since you guys kick in so much every month, that helps, of course. Boost it up into the Pat McAfee area. I think what McAfee has done is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a special teams guy at great kickoffs, punted at Indy, and he started I watched the thing about what he used to do. He would go to events, he'd go to sports bars, he'd do charity appearances, he would make speeches, he was funny, word would get around that Pat McAfee was available. And so he kind of figured out his niche. And because he was just a natural BSer, as most people who talk on talk shows and events are, and you got to have that gift for gab. And so he did it enough, and he walked away from the game. He had a chance to sign another contract, but he wanted to pursue his new career, and he took a heck of a chance doing what he did and the money he turned down. And of course he's worked hard for it. Young people love him. Everybody, as you guys know, all the advertisers, it's young, young, young. I asked one time my general manager at my stadium station here, the Texans flagship, I said, why is it advertisers want all the young people? The old people like me got all the money. And they said, because you already know what shampoo and toothpaste and everything you're going to use. The younger ones are still trying to figure it out. And so the younger people who the advertisers have been trying to reach, they love McAfee. And he's just done a tremendous job, and I respect the heck out of him. You know, when you got companies dueling for you, for like FanDuel and ESPN, what's weird, though, ESPN lays people off on one end, and then they'll go pay superstars like Pat McAfee, Adam Schefter, Jeff Passan, and Adrian Wojnarowski big-time money. And the problem with ESPN laying people off, it's not because of ESPN, it's because of Disney. ESPN makes a fortune. And so you can see Disney, which has to approve that, flexing its muscles to hire a guy like that. And I think it's tremendous for any other person trying to have a post-career, if you're an athlete in any sport, or if you're just coming out of college and you want to use Pat McAfee as your role model.
Well, John, teams may be competing for DeAndre Hopkins right now, wide receiver. Where do you think is his ultimate or best landing spot in the NFL?
Arizona tried to trade him, Vince, and they couldn't get anybody to take his contract, which was like, let's see, he had a two-year extension, so two divided by $54 million, whatever that is. And nobody wanted to take on his contract. He's missed 15 games the last 2 years with two different injuries and a six-game suspension. When he was here, he only missed one game between 2013, when he was a 28th pick in the first round, until March of 2020, when Bill O'Brien traded him, which began the unraveling of this franchise, one of the worst trades in NFL history. And so Hop now is a free agent. He doesn't have a lot of bargaining power. The timing is terrible. If he'd have been available in March, when teams had money, before they'd use free agency in the draft to shore up weaknesses at wide receiver, he would have been in big demand. He can't let money be the big issue. He's single. He's made a fortune. But money always factors into it. I'm guessing, Vince, he's going to end up with a team that's a Super Bowl contender with a great quarterback, and it's going to be the one that offers him the best deal financially. I can tell you where it won't be, and it won't be New England. People don't understand. It's amazing to me how many people keep putting the Patriots in there, and they act like because of Bill O'Brien. He and Bill O'Brien hated each other, and O'Brien traded him, and the things that used to drive O'Brien crazy, Hopkins never practiced, always had ailments, but he always played on Sunday. Belichick doesn't put up with that. And O'Brien did because he was a great player. So I could see him being reunited with Deshaun Watson. I could see him going to Kansas City. To me, he ought to take the minimum to go to Kansas City to be on a possible Super Bowl team, defending champion. And one thing about his career, and I haven't heard any mention of this, and you never will, because he wants to drive up the price. He spent his whole career in Houston and Phoenix. So does Buffalo in December and January, does that bother him? The wind, everything, he'd be going, the helmets in Cleveland. He played in some bad weather games in Cleveland. Kansas City, of course, gets cold in the winter too, but not like Buffalo and Cleveland. They're on Great Lakes. So I'm not sure which team he'll end up with. I know I was really surprised when J.J. Watt signed with Arizona. Now, they did go to the playoffs the first year, and then the bottom dropped out. But so I just hope he gets on with a team that gives him a chance to go to the playoffs. He's been to the playoffs a lot, but he's never been beyond the second round.
John, last couple things. There's some other really big names that are free agents right now. Another former Texan in Jadeveon Clowney, Ezekiel Elliott, Frank Clark. Any one of those current free agents that you think are most noteworthy in potential landing spots for them?
It's interesting about Jadeveon Clowney's become a mercenary. Every year he's looking for another team. Clowney's not a great pass rusher, never has been, but he's a great run player. He lives here, and he mentioned in an interview here 2 weeks ago he wouldn't mind coming back here, but they're not going to do it. He'll find somebody. He doesn't like going to training camp. He'll find somebody that will sign him. And a guy that Ndakwe, who is had 8.5 sacks last year, Leonard Floyd, Justin Houston is old as he's like 35 years old and he can still rush the quarterback. Once those guys figure out they're going to have to take like a million and go to the poorhouse, they'll get signed because they showed last year they can still produce.
Hey, John, we always appreciate your time. Thank you so much. What are you working on this week?
On sportsradio610.com, where I write columns and do podcasts, Houston football, Utopia football podcast. I've got NFL columns, Texans columns. Every once in a while, I work in an Astros column. Guys, thank you very much as always, and I hope you have a great weekend.
You too,
John. Thank you. You as well. John McClain joining us from Houston on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. We're back to close out today's edition of Sports Talk as it's now 8:48. That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson, and this is 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
The game times and networks for Vol football's contest against Virginia on September 2nd and Florida on September 16th have been unveiled as a part of the SEC spring meetings. UT will take on the Cavaliers in Nashville at noon Eastern time on ABC, while the Vols and Gators will kick off at 7 p.m. in Gainesville on ESPN. Tennessee's Week 2 game with Austin Peay will be televised on the SEC Network Plus, but the game time will be announced at a later date. In Tennessee basketball news, Josiah Jordan James announced on his Twitter yesterday afternoon that he would be exiting the NBA draft and would return to Tennessee for a fifth season with the Big Orange. UT's Tobe Awaka and Freddie DeLeon have accepted invitations to attend the 2023 USA Basketball Men's Under-19 World Cup Team Training Camp. They will begin on June 11th in Colorado Springs, Colorado. The NBA Finals get started tonight as the Miami Heat will travel to Denver to take on the Nuggets. That will be an 8:30 tip, and the game can be seen on ABC. With your morning sports update for the Sports Animal, I'm Sam Foreman. Have a great day.
Back to wrap up today's edition of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara. Vince, anything you wanted to toss out there in regards to what we heard in Jimmy Heim's conversation with Josh Heupel?
Yeah, the fact that Mackenzie Milton went through what he did at UCF and showed that leadership and coaching ability and coaching his teammates and was there for Dylan Gabriel, I think they saw the coach in him at that time, and he utilized his time where he was injured. And I think he's going to be a really good resource in that room for Joe Milton. And Joe Milton's already taken a leadership approach, but he's got some really good minds to help him out. Whether it's Halsey or Josh Heupel, and now another good resource in that room. So I think it's a great addition and really noteworthy in what he said about the maturity and coaching aspects of Mackenzie Milton. So good stuff as always from Jimmy. He does a great job. And Heupel is usually pretty relaxed talking to him. So that was really cool.
It sure was. And, of course, folks can find all of that and more at 99.1thesportsanimal.com. Vince, have a great day.
All right, you too, John.
All right, sure to appreciate it. Of course, you've got Lady Vols softball coming your way as Tennessee takes on Alabama in the first game of the Women's College World Series. And stay tuned. Up next, it's the Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice, as well as Logan Ward and Sam Foreman. That does it for Sports Talk. Have a great Thursday. This is 99.1 The Sports Animal.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.